The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Big week. It is Arizona State and Arizona. It is the Arizona Cardinals trying to take down the LA Chargers. It's a big week. It is the Phoenix Suns on the road for the week. It's the Arizona Coyotes home for the holiday. It is a little bit of everything, but the story this week clearly is ASU and U of A. We will have Chris Cartman with us today, SunDevilSource.com publisher, good friend of the show. Those of you that are U of A fans, you can get mad at me all you want. It's not that I'm not paying attention to your team. I've watched them enough. So we will work U of A in, okay, on this deal. ASU, according to the wise guys in Vegas, is a two-point favorite. I watched both games over the weekend. I did not need to sit through the U of A game after the first quarter, but I did because I'm a highly trained, paid professional on occasion. I sat through the ASU game all the way to the bitter end. And if you're going to be the one that tells me that the only reason why they lost at Oregon is because of a blown officials call and it would have tied up the game, I would say you're wrong. And I've seen the photos of Frank Darby and the foot that is sitting there, a toe that is out of bounds, slightly out of bounds from my view. We'll talk to Chris Cartman about ASU U of A this Saturday. A year ago, this was the week that Todd Graham was fired. I'm of the opinion as I sit here today that Todd Graham's name is going to be in the cycle of coaches getting hired in the next 2 weeks. I'm of the opinion that in the next 2 weeks, Rich Rodriguez is going to be hired at a very good job. And the same with Todd Graham. Maybe 3 weeks, likelihood 2 weeks. Bank on it. There's going to be coaching news all over the place. This is the time of year, even though it is the holiday week, where coaches know they're going to get blown out, as what happened over the weekend in Colorado. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor, protect what matters most. You're going to have family with you this week. You've got to protect them. They are what matters most. Think about their personal situations, where each one of them are, and where you, as the provider overseeing the family, is everything in order? Is everything in place? I'm asking a very basic question. This is not something I've been trained and taught. I took my license. I studied what they are doing at Sagicor. I really believe in it because, guys, we're so busy, we do not take the time to look at what protects that matters most and the way that you go about it. So do that with Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Chris Cartman and Ron Wolfley with us on today's show. We're going to have Ron in studio, and it's going to be all things about the Cardinals and not just what happened against the Raiders or what may happen against the Chargers. It's going to be the deep dive of where they are now and where they're going and what direction they should go. You could make the argument after watching the Raiders game over the weekend that the Cardinals should address their offensive line or should address their inside linebacker or should address the miss of Robert Kimdiche. I could easily make the argument that with a high pick, they could trade back and pick up a few high picks. They could just stick to a wide receiver here locally and move forward with Larry Fitzgerald in his days that are about to come to an end on the field, whenever that may be. And Christian Kirk and N'Keal Harry, and you tell me, are you giving Josh Rosen everything he needs and address the offensive line through free agency? The game against the Chargers this coming weekend, the Chargers had a bad loss to Denver. Phillip Rivers is playing as well as anybody at his position, but he's really not getting the attention because the other team in L.A. has been doing it and doing it so well. And Jared Goff's just the sexier name there. So the Cardinals trying to get it figured out in L.A., good luck with that. It was one of the worst performances that I have seen through the years of the Cardinals, and I've seen a lot of bad football through the Cardinals. But what they did on Sunday in finding a way to lose in the remaining 3.5-4 minutes, the former Sun Devil Adam Archuleta was doing the color commentary on CBS for the game against the Raiders, if we're just to go back on that one for a minute, as hard as it is to do. And I was so proud of Arch because Arch decided to humble himself, get done with his NFL career, go play some high school, go do some high school broadcasts, sit in broadcast booths that were dark, that weren't being broadcast live, and dummy up games, practice games. And now Adam Archuleta is just sitting there killing the Cardinals at the end of the game, which they deserved to be. You may be the most loyal, ardent Arizona Cardinal fan around. You may be one of those guys that tells me I sat in Sun Devil Stadium and I got my Jake Plummer jersey, or I've got my Roy Green jersey, and I follow them all the way through, and how dare you say our team stinks, and so on and so forth. Look, this has been a pretty good franchise. Pretty good. But what they've done here in this season, Steve Wilkes' job should be now questioned. There's times where you make a bad hire. It happens. And the problem with franchises that are afraid of the ridicule and the embarrassment, or don't want to be called out because we got it all figured out, they're the ones that end up being the Cleveland Stinking Browns every single year. The fact that I'm watching the Cardinals and they have not had a defensive forced turnover in three straight games, and their head coach is a defensive guy that came in from Carolina. The idea of hiring a defensive guy may have just been an absolute miss on the part of the organization. Because I don't know, when you spend a top 10 pick on a quarterback, you probably want to have somebody that offensively can work side by side with you. That didn't happen with the coordinator. Now they bring in another coordinator. Josh Rosen has had some success. And yet Josh Rosen in his last four starts has thrown eight interceptions. The numbers don't lie. So is this quarterback really progressing? When you have as many boneheaded plays as this team has week after week after week, where wrong personnel is not on the field at the proper time, the right guys are not there, when there's just silly penalties and silly mistakes and things that you look at and say, drop balls, holding call on the way to a touchdown run by David Johnson, not having enough depth on the roster. It's not like Steve Keim should be immune to criticism on this deal. He absolutely should be held accountable. Do I think that Steve Keim doesn't know what he's doing? There are those that tell me, Brad, this team was all built and founded on Denny Green, that it wasn't Steve Keim and it wasn't Rod Graves. You could make that argument. You could. Because there have been missed picks. DJ Humphreys, I would say, has not turned out to be a first-round pick. If you're inside the building over there, you're going to say, I'm wrong. I'm going to say, prove it to me. Has he been to the Pro Bowl consistently? Has he been to the Pro Bowl other than a spectator? When you have first-round picks, they should turn into something of substance. Robert Kimdiche has turned into a big, fat zero. Hassan Reddick is making some strides. But first-round picks should not be making some strides. We were willing to give Steve Keim the benefit of the doubt when he was hitting on draft picks, in particular David Johnson. But you can't tell me going top to bottom on this roster that has happened here in recent years. Christian Kirk looks like a very good pick this season. No question about it. Josh Rosen looks like a very good pick this season. No question about it. But are they growing at the right pace? And if you're Michael, you know, Michael doesn't like to be criticized. Michael does not like to have anybody question Michael Bidwell. That's just how it's been here through the years. Some owners are wired in a way where they're Teflon. Robert Sarver could care less. Michael, he cares. May not say he cares. Everything that's done around the Cardinals, Michael's got to be right there in the middle of the picture. Just the way it is. Not being critical, but shoot, just go look at the All or Nothing series. That was just a Michael Bidwell documentary with some football wrapped around it. Whenever they do the game ball presentation, Michael's got to be right in the middle of the picture. This is an owner that likes to be seen. Some owners, you don't see them. Ken Kendrick, you can't find around the team. Maybe that's a bad thing. The Coyotes, it depends on which day of the week the owner's here or who the owner is. I'm just kidding. So there's a lot around the pro football team. This is the week of ASU U of A. To some of you, this is the biggest week of the year. Not me, but to some of you, it is. We'll talk with Chris Cartman from Sun Devil Source. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Joined now by Chris Cartman. Excellent work that they do at sundevilsource.com. Publisher, good friend of the show as we look ahead to Saturday, ASU in Tucson against the U of A. A year ago at this time, Todd Graham was coaching his final game. We sit here almost a year to the date since he was blown out. From your point of view, where is ASU's football program? Is it in better shape, worse shape, TBD? What do you see, Chris?
Well, I think it's largely to be determined, although I would say that there's energy and momentum around what they're doing. I think there's a good strategic approach, Brad, from a recruiting standpoint, what they've done with getting Al Luganville in place, sort of the big picture. Now, that's a multi-year process, and I think the 2020 recruiting class is going to give you a really big picture. As far as the performance on the field this season, I said before the year started, this is going to be a 6 or a 7, and now that's exactly what we're looking at. They've lost a bunch of close games. They've won some close games. I thought they would have been a little bit better team offensively and maybe not quite as good defensively, but in the wash, it's kind of about what I expected.
Let's go back before we get ahead, Chris, to the game this Saturday. Let's go back to Saturday night in Oregon, late night game. There were some hits, there were some misses, there were some ball security issues, there were some plays that were made. There was a bunch of freshmen on the field for ASU right out of the gate. So walk me through what you saw Saturday night on all fronts.
So the big thing was not having Merlin Robertson in the first half. He had been disqualified from that half for targeting. I thought it was a questionable call a week earlier against UCLA. J.J. Wilson hadn't played in 6 straight games. He was out there, and they targeted him in their screen game and with some of their wide runs. Oregon had 10 chunk plays in the first half, Brad. Robertson comes back, plays in the second half. Oregon had 0 chunk plays in the third quarter. Herbert had something crazy, like only 18 passing yards
right. In
the second half. Oregon had fewer than 100 total yards from scrimmage in the second half. It was a very different type of performance after giving up 380 or something yards in the first half. Now, ASU had some special teams breakdowns. Just when you thought they were going to seize momentum, they gave up a 56-yard kickoff return. I think their kickoffs were poor. They had some other mistakes, had some missed tackles that were costly, especially Chase Lucas missing a couple, which really shouldn't happen. Eno Benjamin, once again, Brad, this guy is exceptional. He was taking an absolute punishing in the first half. He thought somebody was going to finally shut him down. They come out, and he ends up with 150 rushing yards, better than his season average. I think the fight of ASU's football team, when you thought, I think most people were like, okay, ASU's in trouble, losing in a blowout for the first time on the road this season. And their persistence, the perseverance, they didn't give up. They made a lot of mistakes. Oregon made a lot of mistakes. I don't know if that was the cold, the environment, or just the Pac-12 not being very good this year in a lot of respects. But I think you have to give a lot of credit for ASU's disposition in that situation.
5 losses by 7 points. I mean, what does that say if you dig deep into that number? They're close. They just don't know how to win. They don't have enough playmakers to push them over the top. What do you make out of that number, Chris?
I make that that's how they're going to be remembered. Manny Wilkins knows that acutely. As fans have a transactional relationship with me, if I win, they like me. If I don't, they don't. He didn't get it done in the 2-minute drill against Stanford. If they have that back, well, now they're playing for the Pac-12 South Championship against Arizona. So they know that they had situations that they squandered. And Rob Lichten said, you're not going to get that situation back. This is probably your only chance as a player, especially for some of the veteran guys. Some even coaches maybe don't get other chances like that. So fans are going to understand, even though this is the first year and maybe they were a little bit ahead of schedule or had an opportunity that wasn't expected of them due to the South being down, they still weren't able to take advantage of that when they really needed it and win enough close games.
You've heard this. I've heard this. It continues in my inbox. I don't look into your inbox, but I'm assuming you hear the same thing, Chris. We're talking with Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com publisher. Yeah, Herm Edwards has had success this year, but he's doing it with Todd Graham's players. How do you respond to those people? Because they're out there and they just won't go away.
Yeah, that's really an absurdity, actually. Of course, yeah, N'Keal Harry, he's really good. Manny Wilkins is a third-year starter, so that's a stabilizing agent. ASU had 6 freshman players on defense in the second half against Oregon on the road, probably the number one quarterback prospect in the country. He had 18 yards in the second half against them. Okay. Actually, it was player that Todd Graham recruited in J.J. Wilson, who personified their defensive struggles from the previous regime as it winded down and now dissipates. Now you have basically a resetting. Mm-hmm. If you look at ASU's team this year versus last year, dramatically fewer sacks, dramatically fewer pressures,
yep,
a better run game. Those things are schemed to be that way. It's strategically done that way. That's not the players. That is the philosophy, and that is the approach that will continue on from this year into next year and beyond. And yes, they're going to have to replace some guys. That's always the case. But the success that they've had is not really primarily a function of some big holdover type of a reservoir of talent.
Talk with Chris Cartman before we get you out of here. SunDevilSource.com publisher. Saturday, ASU at U of A. You're in press boxes for every ASU game, but I know you well enough to know you see what's going on at U of A. You have your network. You have your sources. ASU right now, Vegas has them as a 2-point favorite on the road. What do you make out of this game for Saturday?
Well, one of the things that you know from covering it a lot, Brad, and watching it over many years is that the game often doesn't go the way you would anticipate. A lot of times, the best team hasn't won. In fact, you might have to go back to 2013 to find that the best team clearly won in the game. So you kind of have to throw a lot out. At the same time, what we've seen from Arizona this year is three, maybe four games where they've just almost imploded and the game's been gone. If ASU is able to come out early, run the football down Arizona's throats, make Khalil Tate feel pressured and unsettled in the pocket, there's a chance for U of A, where it's at, this type of team, not having a senior day and the festivities of all that, which is kind of odd and getting a lot of attention and seems mm-hmm. like that's become more of a distraction than if you actually just had it. I think ASU has a chance. ASU is the better football team. But as I said, though, Brad, it just seems like there's just so much unanticipated stuff that happens, and these games often tend to turn on a big play. So who's going to make the bigger play? And is it going to be a punt or a kickoff return or an interception for a touchdown, something like that that's unpredictable?
I'll see you there on Saturday. Thanks for the visit, Chris, as always.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Brad.
There's Chris Cartman there, SunDevilSource.com publisher and a good friend of the show. Good stuff there over on their content side of the street. There's a lot that I want to get to on the college football end, not just what's coming this weekend, but kind of a big overarching view of the season. There were some games last weekend that made me sit up at attention towards where we're going in the college football playoff. We'll get into that. A team that's completely off the radar, closing in on 10 wins that should be getting attention. I'll have that for you. That's on the other side. And then Ron Wolfley in studio. I'm Brad Sussmat. We are going to have Ron Wolfley unhinged here in a couple of minutes, and not just on what happened, not at all about what happened over the weekend, but rather on where things are going. Big picture with the Cardinals. I'll have that shortly. Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are priced at $19.99 this weekend. Are you going to watch Phil and Tiger? I think there's going to be so many outlets that will have it for free on social media, but there will be a buy on this. There'll be 2-3 million people. In some of my circles, people can't wait for this. It's been off of my radar. But over the weekend, I was talking with guys and said, are you going to buy Tiger, Phil? No. I like both of them. I like golf. Not going to buy Tiger, Phil. It's supposed to be like 70 this weekend. It's supposed to be nice. Last I checked. So why would I sit indoors to watch those two? I may go out and play and then see if I can find it. And Saturday I'll be in Tucson. So that's coming up. On the college football scene, so this weekend, coming weekend, we have Ohio State and Michigan. And Michigan is actually favored in this game. Favored. This game will be on before the ASU-U of A game. You know how I've been through the years when the Pac-12 network decides to put on ASU-U of A on their channel, opposite of Auburn, Alabama. All it says is, we don't want anybody to see this. We don't care. I saw where they moved the ASU-U of A game to FS1. That's fine. FS1 is not in every hotel room across the country, unfortunately. But it's a big step up. What did you do Saturday, Eric, on the Oregon deal?
You'll love this. Yeah. You'll love this.
Yeah, what did you end up doing?
I met some friends out at a restaurant.
Yeah.
I watched the first half of the game at a bar restaurant.
What place?
Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers.
Great
over
place.
By Paradise Valley Mall.
Love that place.
And then my friends decided it was late and they wanted to go home and it didn't look like ASU had a chance. So then I went over to one of my friend's house. He cut the cord, but he has a way of figuring out how to get the stream.
Yeah.
I think he like airplays it from some site in Australia.
Yeah.
And so we watched the second half of the game at his house, which ended at 12 something in the morning. But yeah, instead of me just, you know, sitting on my butt, like watching it on a normal like TV, like through DirecTV, I could not do that. So
no.
I had to go to two different places to watch the ASU game.
I had somebody internally at ASU tell me that Ray was not happy with 3 weeks in a row on Pac-12 Network.
I can't imagine why.
What a shock.
Yeah.
What a stunner.
But that is good news on Saturday. Most people have FS1. You're right. Not everyone.
Not everybody.
In hotels have FS1, but yeah. FS1 is pretty easy to find.
So. I have not done the Territorial Cup in a long time, like by going to the game, because usually there's other things that are going on. Like last year I went and Todd was fired by Dan Wolkin. Or actually, Dan Wolkin was being told by Todd and his people that he was being fired before the game even started, if we remember correctly, last year. I was in the stadium, but I had no interest in what was going on the field. Some of you, this is your week. This is the week that you live for. You have bets going down. You got your fellas together. You're going to take the party bus. You're going to get all excited. Some of you are probably going to have a few adult beverages, not too many. Make sure you have an Uber or whatever it is. And I just kind of, again, look around and say, so it's not ASU's fault this year. They were in position. They were a couple of points away. You start six true freshmen at Oregon, you're not going to win. I don't care. I think it was 14-0 before you knew what happened because you had freshmen running into each other and Oregon just went right after them. It's where the schedule came out. And I think Chris's point earlier about Merlin Robinson being on the field is a very good point. But regardless of the game and what it means, the winner goes to the Sun Bowl again, from how I see it, or the Holiday Bowl. They can move some things around. You can do horse trading on the bowl games, but they're not going to go to a major bowl. They're not. And that's disappointing to me. So going down there and saying this is the next best thing and beating your rival, I get it. I get it. But it's still two teams that are trying to find their way. I would say that U of A is in better shape today, even after getting thrashed like they did up in Pullman. They're in better shape today than they were a year ago at this time under Rich. Rich had run his course. There were a lot of vultures that were circling. There were a lot of whispers about off-the-field stuff with Rich, which ended up coming out. It was time for him to move on. In Todd's case, the program, in my view, is in far better shape than it was under Todd Graham. Todd did a lot of the heavy lifting. I mentioned Todd should have gone after the Maryland job earlier this year, and people said, well, I don't get it. Why do you say that? He only has ties to Texas. Todd's a cleanup guy. Come into Arizona, cleans up all the mess, all the stuff from Dennis Erickson. He proved it. Went and worked the media hard. Go to Maryland this year with the total mess that was going on there. Now, I said that back in August. You look at where Maryland is now. I was gripped, couldn't move off Maryland, Ohio State on Saturday afternoon. It was one of the best games that I've seen. I saw the spectrum this weekend. One of the best games I've seen in a long, long time was Maryland trying to take down Ohio State, because there was a great director there that was taking every last shot of Urban Meyer, grabbing his chest and pulling out his hair, and he looked like he was just going to have a stress attack right on the field. The other side of the story, of course, was some of the worst football I've ever seen. Happened over in Glendale on Sunday with the Cardinals and Raiders. Some of the worst, absolute worst football I've seen in the final 3 minutes. Just dumb, idiotic stuff. The college game, I prefer it by a long ways. We've not said that in a while, but you see what happens on Saturdays. It's total chaos. Army has 10 wins this year. I bring this up because Army's not ranked in the top 25. Army-Navy is in a couple of weeks. Army has beat Navy the last couple of times that they've played. The coach at Army has won 10 games each of the last 2 years at a time in our country where the service academies are now rebounding and people are rallying around our troops. It was me growing up, I just was on the very, very, very end. I was just a single-digit kid when Vietnam was ending and all that, right? And I see where it is now. Patriotism is alive and well in our country.
And but remember, Brad, not to interrupt you, sure. But Army should have 11 wins.
The Oklahoma game.
The Oklahoma game.
Yeah, that's right.
They had it all wrapped up and gave it away to Oklahoma, as crazy as that sounds.
As crazy it sounds. No, you're right. You're right about that. So that is a story in itself that I look at this season. Northwestern has been a terrific story this year in college football. The Brock Purdy excitement came to an end Saturday night when Texas just throttled Iowa State. Nonetheless, what will it be? In 2 weeks, you'll have the championship game on the high school level with Brock Purdy's little brother, Chuba Purdy, who I hear U of A is all over. And Noel Mazzoni is all over. I'm still waiting for Arizona State's name to surface. And Ben Finley, who Arizona State had offered, committed this past weekend to North Carolina State. Again, it comes down to if you can keep a local quarterback who's really good and talented at home, you have a shot to turn the city on its ear, because we've grown up seeing this kid and they continue to leave. I don't know why. Ron Wolfley in studio next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, it is time to go through all things around the Arizona Cardinals with my friend, and he is my friend, Ron Wolfley. It's always good to have Wolf in studio, the great analyst of the Arizona Cardinals. And when I say great,
oh no,
when you have a team that's not good, that's when you know that you're great, because it's easy to say, hey, we're going to the playoffs, we're going to the Super Bowl. It's not easy when it's mid-November and it's, what are we doing here? What is your big takeaway so far this season?
Oh, my goodness, I just did not see it coming, Brad. That is the biggest takeaway that I have right now. I really did not. I thought with Sam Bradford, they were going to actually be competitive. I thought the Arizona Cardinals would surprise some people. Look at their defense. They've got some playmakers on the defensive side.
Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson.
And on it goes. Yeah. I mean, Corey Peters, they have some good players there. I was a little worried at the inside linebacker position, right? But I thought maybe Hassan Reddick was getting ready to step up and fill one of those two inside linebacker positions. You have the Carolina Panthers, Steve Wilks, of course, Al Holcomb. They're going to bring that Carolina Panthers defense here, where you've got Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, this is really going to be.
They draft a young quarterback.
It's going to be beneficial.
David Johnson's healthy.
He's coming back. Yeah. This team went 8-8. Went 8-8 with their third string quarterback actually starting five games. Stop and think about that. Why in the world wouldn't you be optimistic? I thought Sam Bradford was a guy that he played one game, really, in 2017. And by the way, he was the NFC Offensive Player of the Game. I'm thinking, my goodness, you know what? That's a very underrated signing right there. Boy, did it become apparent quickly that Sam Bradford was not the same
guy. You know this in August? Because August football, and even August football has now started to go into the first few weeks of September, because players are being rested and not being used in August. I call it fake football. These games where they just roll them out there to collect some money and we don't see much. So did you know in August we got a problem here?
No. No, as a matter of fact, just watching training camp, watching practice every day. I was at practice every day. I didn't see any of that. Sam Bradford looked like a guy that, you know what, good. His knee's getting stronger. Right. This guy's going to be fine. Preseason games, the small sample size that he got while actually playing in these games, he played well. There was no indication to me that Sam Bradford was going to play and look the way that he did in those first three games. He looked like a guy that was done.
Okay. And Mike McCoy, let's go to the offensive coordinator, because he's no longer here. Could you see in August, because again, we go back to fake football in August, could you see it coming? And this is not denigrating Mike McCoy. It's just the process, Ron.
No, I did not see it coming. That was one of the reasons I thought it was going to be a strength. Mike McCoy and his horizontal passing attack with Sam Bradford, one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League. Look it up. It's the truth. I thought, man, he's going to thrive, and now all of a sudden David Johnson is going to be back, and I did not see that coming at all. And Mike McCoy, it became very, very apparent that Steve Wilks had one thing to do, and that was to fire Mike McCoy, and he did. You know how I feel about this stuff. I mean, nobody likes to see anyone lose their job out there and making a move halfway through the season for the most part, but I don't think Steve Wilks or the Cardinals had any other choice but to do that.
Okay, so by the time this season ends, well, let's not sit here and parse out what happened last week or next week or any of that stuff. What do you need to see specifically at certain positions?
Boy, I love that.
Because, look, Josh Rosen's getting better.
Yes.
You can see that. But what else? Give me some other spots. The offensive line, I could sit here and try and say they're going to get better. I don't know that. By the time you get to the end of the season, what do you need to see happen?
Okay, first and foremost, you already said it, but this is the most important thing the Arizona Cardinals can do the rest of the season. Make sure Josh Rosen finishes this season by protecting him. You got to protect Josh Rosen. And I'm talking about physically protecting him. I'm talking about the entire team. It takes more than an offensive line to protect a quarterback, Brad. You know that.
Yeah.
It takes a quarterback himself to actually protect himself. No one to throw the ball away. No one he's hot off whomever it is that is blitzing. It takes running backs picking up blitzers as well. The offensive line, the wide receivers running the correct routes, the correct sight adjusts, the correct hot routes. It takes a team to protect a quarterback. The development of Josh Rosen is job one for the Arizona Cardinals the rest of the season. I believe that's their goal. That's what they're going to do. They know they're not a good football team right now. They know they need to be a good football team next year. That means Josh Rosen has got to develop and turn into a franchise-type quarterback.
Okay.
That's job one.
As you sit here today, they're going to be a top five, potentially, pick in the draft.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
You already have the quarterback. This is not the Cleveland Browns rotating through and let's take another quarterback and another quarterback. They found the guy from my view. That pick doesn't have to be a name, but the position today, as you look at it and say, here's where they've got to address.
Yes, let me go ahead and cross my legs. If you have a smoke, I might be able to. Let me think about this casually. I'll go inside linebacker. Inside linebacker right now. I realize Hassan Reddick is there. And Hassan Reddick, too, I think he is developing, Brad. He's developing. Now, it's taken him a while, right? But this is really his second defense in 2 years. And
sure.
I think it's one of the reasons why. And they've moved him around from the edge, right? They moved him back off the ball in space playing linebacker. It's going to take him a little bit to actually absorb this defense. But I think, once again, that might be trending up. But a Mike backer, a true Mike linebacker, I could see them going ahead and saying, hey, listen, that's what we had, this nice dynamic in Carolina when we had Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. Let's try to replicate that once again defensively. Maybe it's an offensive lineman as well. They have to rebuild this offensive line, Brad. That's job number two, maybe, is rebuilding this offensive line. And I think Steve Keim realizes, hey, listen, we have Josh Rosen. This guy looks like he could be, I say.
You're not sold yet.
With a rookie? Are you kidding me? First of all, if you're a rookie right now, you got to do it 2 years in a row. You have to. If you're a franchise rookie, I'm sorry, but I'm a skeptic. I am a skeptic right now with a franchise quarterback. He's going to have to do it 2 years in a row. We're not going to be able to declare him a true franchise quarterback, at least in my opinion, till 2019.
But then, sample size. So, Ron, if you go inside linebacker, you're not helping out Josh Rosen.
N'Keal
Harry could help out Josh Rosen, number six, number eight. Right?
Boy, I like N'Keal Harry, too.
I mean, I'm just saying, do you help the quarterback
and
out?
By the way, Harry and Larry.
Oh, my God. That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's good right there. But again, I think Steve Keim realizes he's got to rebuild that offensive line. And you don't have to do it through the draft. You can do it with free agency. You can go ahead and rebuild it, right, and maybe bring in some guys and hope Mason Cole continues to develop the way that he is. But you need to rebuild that offensive line because you got to protect your investment.
That's a good way to put it. Before I get you out of here, Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
So I wrote.
I love Herm.
This is one of those deals.
I love Herm.
I wrote last year in Ray I Trust, and I'm still getting barbecued for this because it's like, come on, guys. I mean,
this. Okay, can I just say this about Ray Anderson? First of all, Ray, I love you. You're brilliant.
Right.
You are a brilliant man. There's no doubt about that. But having said that, I think in retrospect, and maybe this was his brilliance all along, maybe this is what he was doing, but I think in retrospect, he did Herm Edwards a disservice because he also rolled out, as he hired Herm Edwards, he also rolled out this brand new model, this brand new front office model, this paradigm shift that we were going to go through that I think ultimately kind of blew up in his face because now all of a sudden you took Herm Edwards, which was a unique choice as well.
Right.
You took him from the broadcast booth and inserted him into this new paradigm. And I think ultimately it did Herm a disservice. Herm Edwards, let me tell you right now, this guy, and I said it at the time when they hired him, this is a great hire by Ray Anderson. And the reason being is because a head coach at the college level, has got to do two things. Number one, got to be able to recruit. You got to walk into a kid's living room, and man, I'm telling you right now, your kid is here. You got to be able to walk it and talk it and recruit. Herm Edwards knows how to communicate, knows how to recruit, and does it in a genuine kind of way. That's number one, genuine. Number two, you better be able to motivate. And that's what Herm Edwards is capable of doing, motivating a kid. You bring him in, and now all of a sudden that 18-year-old, you got to make him better. Herm Edwards is going to make you better. Two things that a head coach has got to do at the college level. And this guy is spades in all of them.
Okay. Before I get you out of here, there's a new football league coming in. By the way, you've just killed it
for the last eight minutes. Long right now? Am I going long?
No.
Verbosity is one of my strengths.
You're being great, but I what I'm curious is, the Arizona Hotshots have come in, developmental league.
Yes.
The Rattlers are still here.
Yeah.
You've been a part of them in the past.
Yeah.
You see what Arizona State is doing. You get up every morning and you do the radio. Yeah. Doug and Wolf on 98.7. You
Ding.
Can listen to it. You do the broadcast. Do you have an itch to get back into coaching at all?
No.
No. What are you talking about? No. I'm not trying to start something here, but it's where are you going with...
Well, listen, I was...
You are good. You're a technician.
You know what, Bradley? I'll slip you a little something after the show for that one right there.
I'm here.
First of all, let me just say the worst head coach in the history of junior college football right here.
I
can
tell
you some stories right now you would not even believe. Yeah, so I did enjoy the Arizona Rattlers. I was the pass rush coordinator. As a matter of fact, that's what I was. I did enjoy that, working for Danny, no doubt. But you know what? Honestly, there are coaches, and then there are guys who believe they should coach, and I am neither of those guys.
Because the game is under siege right now. The game is totally under siege in that. The concussion stuff, I think, has started to wind down some.
Diminish, yes.
But it's still an issue.
It's still an issue.
Having guys that know the game and teach the game, from my point of view, when I see high schools that are down to 25 and 30 kids coming out for football, it's a problem. And you're as passionate, Ron, as anybody that I know. If there's ever a guy to be an advocate for the game of football,
yes,
it feels to me like you could be that guy.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, I understand why the NFL has done what they have done. I think it's important they set the tone for everybody else. They're doing it responsibly. You just got to go ahead and do it right. I mean, you got to take the head out of the equation, right? We all understand this. And I think there are coaches right now that are doing that, Brad. And they're doing a great job of taking this out of the equation. Back when I was playing, it was like, man, that boy will stick his face into the fire, won't he? They loved it. They stick your face into the fan, man. And you know what? Honestly, I loved it too.
Yeah.
And I would not change anything. I would not change the era that I played. Even if down the road I have problems, I'm just telling you right now, I don't care. I know where I'm going. I'd stick my face into the fire all over again if I could, just to be able to play the game the way that I did.
Okay, so as you...
I'm sorry. That's me.
There's no reason to apologize, but as you sit here today and you're in the broadcast booth on Sundays, do you look at it and say, what is this game?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's a different game, but I get it. I understand why the NFL is doing it right now. They have to continue to do it as well. And it's got to be coached from Pee-wee all the way up to the National Football League. Remove this from the equation, right? And we're seeing it. And we're still seeing some big hits out there on the field. So I'm optimistic about the direction of the game of football and where it's headed, Brad.
Anything else you want to add? I haven't had you in a while.
Honestly,
I like having you in on the couch.
Okay, yeah.
You just let it fly.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to Jack Stack, by the way? Have you ever been to Kansas City? That's the question you need to ask yourself right now. Jack Stack on the plaza. Have you ever been there?
I've heard of Jack
Stack. What are you talking about? You've never been to the plaza?
I've never been there.
This is the best barbecue on the face of the planet right there.
Send some to me.
Very, very interesting. The burnt ends. What? What kind of goodness is that? Stab it with your steely fork and chow it down.
I think you like doing Cardinal games so much because you get to go to Jack Stack.
Yeah, by the way, you know what? Lambeau, December 2nd, as a matter of fact. What's that mean? Well, that means German food, December 1.
That means when it's January 1, Ron's going on a diet. And diet is short for die.
By the way, I've dropped 30 pounds. Can't you tell?
Okay, with that, I'm going to let you go. This is too much fun. We're out of control. Ron Wolfley in studio. And, of course, you can hear him on 98.7 in the mornings with Doug and Wolf and the Cardinal broadcast fighting through the 2018 season. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.